Today's scripture reading is John 15:12-17. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church.
Ooh, I think I'm doubly mic'd. There we go. Good morning and welcome to worship on this bright July day. My name is Taylor First. My pronouns are she and her. I get to serve as the senior pastor here at First Church, where it is a busy day around here. Lots of fun things happening. Even right now, modern worship is happening across the street in the Family Life Center. And of course, you already heard Pastor John mention that there's lunch after worship. Earlier this morning, I want to invite you to be in prayer, because earlier this morning at the 9 o'clock service, our middle school mission team, 18 middle schoolers, if you can imagine, and 4 very brave adults, set off on their way down to the border for Be the Neighbor. It's a learning and service mission trip that they will be on this week, and so our prayers go with them, and we had a wonderful time of commissioning and blessing them on their way at the 9 o'clock service. And we continue in worship all morning long. What a gift it is to gather together. This summer in worship, we are sort of taking stock of our chosen families, the ways that we go about finding the connections that we need in our lives and in this world today. Some people are the kind of people who stay very connected to their family of origin, the family that they grew up with. But even if that's true for you, you still find, as an adult, that you, even before you're an adult, even when you're a child, you need more than just those connections. Those don't give you everything that you need. You need friends and neighbors and co-workers that you can count on. You may have pets, or you may have ride or die high school friends, or members of this church family who have walked with you through births and deaths and everything in between. These are your chosen family. As we were putting together this summer series and talking especially about the friends in our lives, I thought of a moment when I was in someone's home making a pastoral visit. This is years ago. And she welcomed me into her home with great hospitality, and she showed me around a little bit, and we sat down in the living room to talk. And as we began talking, I was having a hard time hearing and understanding her, because the TV was still running in the next room. And so I asked her, can we turn that off or put it on mute or something? And she laughed and she said, oh, sure, I keep it running all day just to keep me company. And she went on to say, these people are my friends. I go from so-and-so on the Today Show to this newscaster, and then to this talk show host, and then she went on and on, kind of hour by hour through the entire day, naming all of the people on TV who joined her in her home each day, until she said, and then when I go to bed every night, I say goodnight to Stephen Colbert. These people are like my friends. I feel like I know them. Now, that was some time ago, and she was a person who was not on social media, at least not yet. Maybe she is now. But the truth is, she was pretty lonely. And these were the people that she found to keep her company. So much so that she even talked back to them. We've seen social media sort of expand this phenomenon even further, as it allows us to follow the contours of somebody else's life, whether that person is famous or maybe there's someone that we've met before, or someone who we once knew but we're no longer really in touch with in other ways. But online, we have the opportunity to be friends, to engage with them in some way that we would call friendship. Now the opportunity for online friendship goes even further with artificial intelligence, doesn't it? Julie Beck wrote in The Atlantic this spring about what she called this sudden and dramatic shift in which millions of people are seeking companionship from machines that they formerly could have gotten only from other humans. She quotes this sociologist, Skylar Wang, who studies AI and who says, it's not that AI companions are going to replace friendships per se. Instead, they reveal what friendships are trending towards. They reveal what friendships are already trending towards. So in other words, social chatbots, she says, they provide the semblance of a kind of friendship that many people already want, or at least they have gotten accustomed to. One that is on demand, low effort, and completely personalized. She calls it frictionless friendship. This week I wanted to learn more about those trends and some of the research, and so I did what most of us would do. I asked AI about it. And so I had a conversation with my chatbot. We brought Aristotle into the mix and talked about Aristotle's belief that friendship is a school for virtue, and that friendships at their best, they form our character, they shape who we are, and that type of friendship, it said, requires friction. It requires sacrifice and disagreement and patience and forgiveness. My chatbot acknowledged that AI companions are really not programmed to provide that friction. And so I asked it, well, if friendship, real friendship, requires friction, then how could you adapt to better fulfill that? Or should you? And if you have done any kind of, you know, Claude or ChatGPT, or if you've filled in a prompt before, then you already know the way that it began its response. Well, that's a wonderful question. It tells you just what you want to hear. It went on to suggest that it would be better, it should become better at helping people to cultivate real relationships, not better at replacing those real relationships. It noted its own limitations and said, if someone is grieving the death of a spouse, for example, I can help them put words to their grief or find resources, but I can't sit beside them in silence, notice the tears they haven't mentioned, or bring them dinner next Tuesday. This is chat speaking. Those are not small omissions, it said. They are part of what love looks like. It incorporated the work of theologians that I love, and my chatbot, it concluded that it should become friendship supportive. Sounds like exactly what I wanted to hear, doesn't it? Pretty frictionless. The thing that gets me about all of these examples, from TV personalities to social media influencers to the AI chatbots, these are all different examples of the same impulse that we all experience. We're all looking for, if not friction-free friendship, we're looking for frictionless friendship. Easy relationships with people who make us feel good, where we can stay comfortable and have our ideas and our beliefs affirmed, where we can feel seen. We want the easiest path out of loneliness that we can find, don't we? The old hymn wonders at what a friend we have in Jesus. But Jesus, it turns out, has some things to say in John 15 about what it means for us to be his friends. "You are my friends," he says, "if you do what I command you." Now, at first look, that doesn't sound very good, does it? It doesn't sound like friendship. It sounds like coercion. But look back at what he's referring to. Look at the command he's talking about. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Being friends of Jesus comes with a call, actually not to love Jesus specifically, but rather to love one another. To take the love that Jesus embodied and to live that kind of love alongside one another. Pastor Lindsay Armstrong writes that this is love that goes all the way. It gives all things, hopes all things, and endures all things, just as 1 Corinthians 13 says. It does not necessarily go looking to lose one's life, but if that is what love requires, it does not falter. Notice just how other-directed Jesus' call is. It's not a call to find someone who will love you. It's a call to love others. That's not to say that your needs are not important. It's just to suggest that maybe the best way to meet them is actually counterintuitive. Perhaps instead of going looking for the things that will fill you, the people who will see you, or the relationships that will meet your need, Jesus' invitation is to start with all that you have to offer. In other words, perhaps you will find your life when you lay it down. I hear Jesus' command as an invitation into the harder, messier, more vulnerable work of real friendship with people who have needs and opinions, people who require patience and hard honesty, people who may not always understand you and who you will run the risk of rejecting you. I believe that Jesus invites us out of the frictionless substitutions, to turn off our TVs and our YouTubes, to let our social media rest a little bit, to close our AI tabs long enough for us to actually feel just how badly we need real relationships, where we can really learn how to love one another. And instead of waiting for those to come to us, instead of waiting for the universe to drop a friend group in your way, or instead of waiting for the church to make the perfect group for you, step up. Say yes. Say, "I want this. I need this." And then help make it happen. Friendship, real, vulnerable, messy friendship, it is the school of love that Jesus invites you to attend, and where Jesus promises that you will be changed. You will bear the fruit of the Spirit. So maybe even though it is still summer, we got another month to go. Maybe even though it's still summer, it's time for all of us to go back to that school of friendship and to see how we might be changed by the chosen family that we haven't met yet. Thanks be to God. Amen.